The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can we know if the apocryphal books included in some copies of the Bible are supposed to be in the Bible? Did Jesus give any clues? Listen and learn about it next, right here on Grace in Focus. This is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. So glad to have you here with us today, friend. Learn more about the Grace Evangelical Society by hopping on our website, faithalone.org. There you will find a free subscription to our 48-page, full-color, bi-monthly magazine. It's also called Grace in Focus, and postage is paid if you live in the lower 48 United States. Once again, you'll find it at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
Hello, I'm David Renfro.
I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are, once again,
focusing on grace.
On what a wonderful word that is, by the way. Our purpose for being here is to answer questions that people email in to the GES.
Yes, thank you for sending your questions, and keep them short. The 1-2 sentence questions are the ones that get on the air most often.
Yeah, I've even seen some that look like a master's thesis or a dissertation.
They typically don't get on.
They normally don't. One question that we have, which I thought was interesting, AG, says he's come across Catholics online that claim that Martin Luther, removed books from the Bible. They claim that those books are enough to prove that their religion is the one true religion. How do we know that the canonical Protestant Bible is the correct one?
Okay, that's a really good question, and it may not seem like it's crucial to the grace of God, but it certainly relates because the books that are included in the Catholic Bible, called apocryphal books, and by the way, there are more books than that.
Right. There's the pseudepigrapha, too.
Well, there are pseudepigrapha, which are books that claim to be written by, let's say, Peter or Thomas, but they're not actually, so they're false. But then there's apocrypha, which are books of doubtful authority. And the Catholic Bible, if I remember right, has something like 8 books in the Old Testament that are not actually part of the Hebrew Old Testament, and they're also not part of the New Testament of Protestants.
Right.
But of Luther's day, they would have been part of the Bible. Those books actually contain, in some places, some minor lordship salvation influences, and they contain purgatory, for example. In the Second Maccabees, the Catholic doctrine of purgatory is there. So this is a relevant question. Also, it's relevant because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's vital that we have the whole counsel of the Bible.
Right.
And if 1st and 2nd Maccabees are part of Scripture, then we need to be reading those. The same thing with any book. What is it? Well, they have 1st and 2nd Esdras, I think, and they have Bell and the Dragon, but I don't think Bell and the Dragon made it into the Catholic Bible. When we were in the doctoral program, we had to read a lot of the apocryphal books, and you could see how they were fanciful and they didn't read it all like Scripture. But here's a couple of ways we know. In terms of the Old Testament, which is essentially what AG is asking about, the Lord Jesus spoke of Old Testament martyrs, and he said, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. Now, Abel is in what book of the Old Testament?
Very early chapters of Genesis.
Genesis, chapter 4, he kills his brother Abel. So from the blood of Abel, Cain kills his brother Abel, and that's Genesis 4, and he says, to the blood of Zechariah. Well, Zechariah appears in what we call 2 Chronicles, but they call it Chronicles in the Hebrew Bible because they didn't separate out 1 and 2 Chronicles.
Right.
And the order of the Hebrew scriptures is not what we have today. It's called the Tanakh in Hebrew.
Tanakh.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the Tanakh refers to the Torah. Then the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, were second. Nevi'im. So Malachi would be in the middle.
Right.
Right. And then the final is the N.
Ketuvim.
I mean, the K in Tanakh, which is Ketuvim, which is the writings.
Right.
So the writings included 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which were called Samuel, Kings, Chronicles.
Right.
Well, the last book in the Hebrew Bible, in most orders, and they're not all uniform, but most, ended with Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Zechariah's in Chronicles. So what Jesus was affirming was the order of the Old Testament.
Right.
And he was saying that the scriptures in the Hebrew Bible are correct. And he quoted repeatedly from Old Testament books. He never once quoted from the apocryphal books.
No, he didn't.
He didn't quote from Maccabees, for example, or any of the other books. And that's quite telling.
There are a couple of Grace Evangelical Society regional conferences coming up soon. First, August 16th through 18th at Bismarck, North Dakota, Eternal Treasures, a study on rewards for the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Also, Dallas-Fort Worth, October 25th and 26th in East Dallas at Ridgepoint Fellowship. There is more information and a brochure on each of these at our website, faithalone.org/events. So please come yourself or invite others who are close by. Find out more, faithalone.org/events.
Also, we have to recognize that the Holy Spirit was at work in the whole process of the Hebrew people recognizing what was Scripture and also them copying it. The Dead Sea Scrolls showed how carefully they had copied, because until the Dead Sea Scrolls, we had a huge gap from the time of the writing until the time we had the first manuscripts.
Right.
But the Dead Sea Scrolls gave us much older manuscripts, and when you compared, for example, Isaiah, with a 1,000-year gap between the copies, they were almost identical.
It's amazing how accurate they were.
And God superintended all that. And so, and in terms of the New Testament, we believe the Holy Spirit did the same thing. It wasn't that the early church picked the books of the New Testament. They recognized the books of the New Testament. And so when they finally did set the canon and say, okay, these books are Scripture, these other books aren't Scripture, again, the Holy Spirit was involved in that.
Right. And the Protestant Bible, I think, is the one that's historically more accurate. What happened is that in 1546...
which is the same year Luther died.
Right. The Roman Catholic Council of Trent actually brought the apocryphal books and said they are inerrant. You know, they declared them inerrant. They declared them the Word of God at that point.
Officially.
Officially.
But unofficially, they've been part of Catholic practice and doctrine.
For centuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was official then. What I heard was they added those so the Catholics would have a different Bible than the Protestants, because the Protestants never did include those as official inspired Scripture.
Yeah, now it's interesting, though. I think Luther, when he translated the Bible into German, which, by the way, from what I've heard, Luther in many ways influenced the German language significantly by his translation.
He standardized it, because there's a lot of variations in different parts of Germany. The Bavarian German and the German spoken in the northern part of the country can be quite different, from what I understand.
So he helped standardize it, but he actually included the apocryphal books, but if I recall, I think he called them of doubtful authority, or not Scripture, but still something of interest, of historical interest or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not consider it Scripture. I think the point here is that every believer has to be convinced in their own mind what the Bible is. If you look at the Catholic Bible, you're going to have books that are not found in the Protestant Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And since there are things there which ultimately contradict things in the Scriptures, you ought to say, no, those things aren't Scripture.
Right.
And they also don't read like Scripture.
Aren't there doctrines in the apocryphal book that the Catholics accept because they believe that the Apocrypha is inspired scripture, but the Protestants don't believe that particular doctrine, such as...
Well, purgatory is one of the big ones.
Yeah, that's probably maybe the biggest.
And they get other things. I mean, did you know that for Roman Catholics, almost no Catholic dies and goes straight to heaven? Did you know that, David? Their view is that only the super saints...
Super saints.
Yeah, get to go straight to heaven. I remember when I was a chaplain at Baylor during my second year at Dallas Seminary, I was visiting with a Catholic man. He was going through some painful medical experiences, and he was refusing pain meds. And he said, well, I'm wanting to store up extra good works so that I can share them with other people who need them. And that's part of Catholic doctrine, too, is if you have an extra supply, not only can you go directly to heaven, but you can loan some of those works to other people to shorten their time in purgatory.
That's just amazing.
Or you can burn candles and say prayers for people or give money to shorten your relatives' time in purgatory.
It's amazing all you have to do is burn candles, and get people out of purgatory.
Their view is that basically when you die, you have a lot of what they call venial sins left on your soul, and you need to somehow atone for your own sins.
But somebody else can do that for you?
Well, they can by prayers and giving money and burning candles, which I think...
I mean, after all, you're in purgatory, for crying out loud.
But the thing is, their view is you're there for a few thousand years, and that's when you're purified.
Mm-hmm.
And see, they don't see the finished work of Christ as dealing with all of our sins
right. So
that our sin barrier has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
They think sins are still the issue. So they don't believe John 3:16. I mean, they would say they do, but if you ask them, okay, what do you need to do to have everlasting life? Well, I've got to keep the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
And the sacraments include baptism and marriage and last rites and penance and communion, etc. And so they've got these seven sacraments you have to keep. So anyway, A.G., I love your question. And the Bible is the 66 books, the 39 of the Old Testament, the 27 of the New Testament, which, by the way, I think all 66 are the Hebrew Scriptures. With the possible exception of Luke, every book in the New Testament is written by a Jew. And Luke may have been a Jew as well. We think he's a Gentile, but we don't know for sure.
Sure.
So it's possible all 66 books in the Bible were either written by Jews, or in Job's case, we don't know when Job wrote, so he may have been pre-Judy.
It could have been Ugaritic.
Yeah, it could. Well, thanks so much, and keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, if a believer dies out of fellowship with the Lord, does he or she still go to heaven? Please join us again, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.